Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you. I want to mention the title of this message today. I don't normally do that, but I thought it was kind of a catchy title, or intriguing at least. It's Spiritual Mixologist. Spiritual Mixologist. And do we know what a mixologist is? It's a bartender, right? Yeah, mixing drinks, right. So what is a spiritual mixologist? And I think that one of the things that we need to remember is that God has called us not to mix the way of the world with the way of Him in our lives. We are called to separate ourselves from the way of the world to a way with Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. And we are to shed ourselves of the old garments, and we are to put on the new garments of Christ, that we can become more like Him. That's what God has called us to do. But I think we get lost sometimes in the perspective of keeping ourselves with that focus that we are God's people. We are called to be light and salt. We know that intellectually, but to put it in a pragmatic or practical way in our lives that keeps us focused in that center of our life, that I'm a believer, I'm going to walk with you today, I'm going to be the person you want me to be today. There's enough evil in the day for me to contend with, but your grace has given what I need for the day to deal with whatever things come my way, right? And then in the end result is that we want our lives to reflect that much more the character of God. I can't help but think, not that I haven't thought about Sarah Clary, but there was a Sarah that I knew, that Kathy and I knew years ago at one of our first churches that I pastored, second church I think it was. Anyway, she was a dear, dear Christian woman. And I remember when Kathy and I were having Gregory, and we already had Carolyn, and Carolyn was in diapers, and we're having another baby, and so she had given us this gift of a double stroller. And it was an inline double stroller, not a side-by-side, which was really, really nice. And we told Sarah, Sarah said, we can't do that. I mean, that's a lot of money. She says, look, I have separated a separate account in my bank strictly for ministry. Not tithes, not offerings, just ministry to use however God wants me to do. And so it's okay. Well, she got cancer, and it was terminal. And I remember talking to her in the hospital and saying, Sarah, how are you doing? She said, I'm okay. And you're comfortable. I mean, where are you emotionally okay? Yeah, I'm perfectly fine. I'm ready to go, and it's fine that it's terminal, and that's the way it is. And just a calm peace about that. I used to do some of my pastel art and put it into cards. I used to make pastel cards with scripture and pictures, and so I made one for her one year before that. And wrote poetry too. So I wrote this poem that reflected her with the pastel artwork and all that. And it was talking about how at one time she was like a coal, but because her faith shines so bright for Jesus today, that you're like that glimmering diamond with all the brilliancy of color shining through. That's what God has done in your life. And that poem was on this card for her. And it reflected that she became that brilliant stone where she started out as that piece of coal. And we also know that just in genealogy, not genealogies, in geology, we know that a piece of coal compresses over time with heat and pressure of quite a bit of intensity, and it forms a diamond. Well, isn't that what our lives are supposed to do for Christ? That your life and my life, that as we have the pressures of life, the heat of life, the difficulties of life, and that it seems to be consistent over a period of time, like your lifetime, constantly we get over one thing and something else is dealing with that. But as we hold on to Christ and we keep that focus on Him, as He's called us to keep that focus as His children, that we remain faithful to Him, and through that, what happens is that the end result is that we become more like Him. We become like that diamond or that precious stone that has been made by God Himself to reflect His glory. And so that's the point of what Jesus is telling the disciples in Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 39, at least the beginning of the point of that. And so let's look at Luke chapter 5, verse 33, and let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you for each one here. I do pray, Father, that you will accomplish your work in and through your word. I pray, Father, that you will help us to be very much aware of your presence in our midst. Like the song said, that we wanted to touch you or to see your face. Well, physically, we can't do that today, but in our own spirit, by your presence, we can be brought into your presence in such a way that it's very clear, without doubt, that we are having a moment of time focusing on you, knowing your communication, your presence with us. And so I pray that you would work that way in our midst today as we listen to what you have to say through your word and by your spirit to each of our individual hearts. And may you be glorified. May we know that you've been here. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So the first thing is acknowledge the new way of life in Christ. It's part of that, keeping that focus, is to acknowledge the new way of life. We're not to mix our life with the way of the world and the way of Christ. We're not to walk the middle line and compromise our lives. We're to make a commitment to be distinctively strong and committed to following Jesus, which is separating ourselves from the way of the world. Luke 5:33, then they said to him, why did the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? The Pharisees and Sadducees were looking at Jesus. He'd begun his ministry, as we look at this in Luke chapter 4, and they noticed something that was distinctly different between the disciples that were following Jesus and the disciples that were following John the Baptist. The disciples that were following John the Baptist were praying and fasting. Well, what was John the Baptist's job? What was his calling? It was to prepare the hearts of the people for the one that was to come, the Messiah. And so the Messiah wasn't yet on the scene yet. The ministry hadn't begun yet. The acknowledgement of Jesus as the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the flesh, in their midst, had not yet been recognized. And so they were praying and fasting. But Jesus, when he did come, his disciples were following him. Well, he's there. Can you imagine living in the time period with Jesus and knowing and acknowledging who he is, that you, and your own personal belief that you acknowledge that I really believe this is the Messiah, this is the Christ, this is the Lord. I put my faith in him. I have a relationship with him. And he's right here physically in our presence. Wouldn't you rejoice being in the presence of the Lord physically? Yeah. And that's what Jesus was telling them. Hey, you know, as you read this passage, you'll find out. He said, hey, look, before I came on the scene, they were praying and fasting for me to come. But now that I'm here, rejoice, because I'm only here for a little while. I'm only here for a little while. And so in verse 34, he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? You know, we got a wedding coming up, Troy and Alexis. How many of us are going to go to that wedding and have sackcloth on and mourning faces and not take in the buffet and not be part of the celebratory joy, but sit back and we're in prayer and we're fasting and praying because, no, we're celebrating their union as believers in Christ. And so that, again, is the example that Jesus is making here. Verse 35 says, but the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. You and I need to, if you don't have fasting as part of your spiritual walk, you need to ask God about that. Because if we fast and we cut out that food, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but if we cut that out with the intention that I'm going to skip lunch today, or this 24-hour period, or this 48-hour period, or whatever, I'm going to not eat, with the purpose of not just not eating, But the purpose of, in place of eating, I'm going to focus that much more on you. In the time period that I would normally be sitting down praying, I'm going to be praying and focusing on you and desiring you. And as Christians, we should be seeking the face of God, that we might know Him, that we might touch Him, that we might encounter that relationship in a more intimate, personal way. And that's, again, something else that Jesus was referring to. Then they will fast in those days. Then in verse 36, then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. What was Jesus telling these Pharisees and Sadducees? Look, you know, you've got your customs and your manners of the Old Testament way. You've got your sacrificial system. You've got your rules and regs. You've got all the things that you're supposed to be trying to apply to become right with God. But if you haven't noticed, you're not getting right with God by practicing these rules. Just because you go to the synagogue, just because you open the scriptures and the writings and you read what's written there, just because you try to keep what's right, all these types of things, the idea of the law was to help people understand that you can't be right with God by keeping the law, because we can't keep the law. We can't keep God's holy standard. We just can't. But that was the old way. And Jesus is now presenting something new, the covenant of grace, that we're saved by faith through grace, right, in Christ Jesus. And so he's telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, hey, this old religious system that you have are the old garments. I'm presenting to you new garments, a new way of grace, of reception, of acceptance, not based upon your own doing, but based upon your faith on me. And so you can't mix the two. You can't take your faith in the new way of Christ, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and apply it to, I'm going to gain acceptance by God by doing everything right. Because we can't meet God's holy standard. And so he spoke and he said, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. No one puts the new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. We don't live that way anymore. But if you were, you know, fermenting wine and wineskins, you don't put new wine in old wineskins, because the old wineskins have already become inflexible and they've become hard. And they become those hard containers. Put new wine in there, the gas is produced, and the bag doesn't expand, but it breaks open. But if you put new wine into new wineskins, you have the expansion. So what's he saying to them? He's saying, look, in order for you to have a right relationship with God, you've got to step out of the old, and you've got to step into the new, and allow yourself to expand in the new things that God has revealed through his Son to you. Now, we can look at that historically and say, well, there's the old Jewish custom and there's the New Testament Christian principle. But we have to look at that at one more level, our own lives. Are we putting off the old man, putting off the old ways, putting off the sinful nature, putting off the things that are not the way of God, that God has taught us not to do? Are we putting those things off? And are we relying on the power of God, being dependent upon Him, trusting Him to enable us to put on the new? Because we can't do that by ourselves either. And so we have to make the distinction as we focus each day following God. I'm a child of God. I'm a believer in Christ. I am a disciple of Christ, which means I'm learning of Christ. I'm applying what Christ has taught me. I'm living for Him. And my goal today is to bring Him glory as I follow Him and walk with Him. And that's putting on the new that can only be done through faith in Christ. So no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk the old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. Boy, there's two things. Verse 38, both are preserved. The Old Testament was a foreshadow of that which was to come, and Jesus' coming was the fulfillment of that which was foretold. When the Old Testament saints, when Old Testament Jews, when even Gentiles in the Old Testament that put their faith in God, continue to put their faith in their Son, they learn the new ways of Christ. And then what did the Jews, what did they teach initially, Jewish Christians in that first church? Well, you got to become Jewish, you got to get circumcised, you got to do this, 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 and this. No, you don't. It's a new way now. That a Gentile can come to know God without any Jewish requirements placed on them. And so you learn that new way. That was the both are preserved. And that the old can come into the new and have that fullness of a relationship with God. But verse 39 says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new. You see, it's a learning process for you and I. That we learn not to like the old stuff and to desire the new. We learn that the old stuff isn't all it's racked up to be, but the new is more than what I expected it to be. And we begin to learn, you know what? It is better to put off the old clothes, the old way, the old me, the old sin, all these things. It is really wonderful to be in the newness of Christ. You see, that's a learning process. No one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. In your handout, there's a little thing to fill in the spaces if you'd like to do that. I put attaching the new way of life to the old way won't work. If we tell ourselves, I'm going to have a rich relationship with Jesus, but I'm going to hold on to the world and my past and hold on to Christ, then we're holding on to both and we're walking the fence in the middle and we will not discover the life that God has for us in Him. We have to make the decision to put off the old, even if that's a process. But we begin to recognize it. As we yield to God and follow Him, God shows us truth about the old isn't as good as what He has for us in the new of Christ. Second thing, do not be a spiritual mixologist. I still like that title. Do not be a, you know why? Because so many Christians are just saying, I'm just glad that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I have my insurance policy, that when I kick the bucket, that I know I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters now, that I have that secured. I've taken care of my responsibilities spiritually. I can live the way I want to, and I can still go to heaven. Wow, I got the best of both worlds. Wrong way to think. That's spiritual mixology. God says, don't do that. Because we are light. Because we are salt, because we are His children. And we are those not pieces of coal, but precious stones in the very eyes of God. And we're going to look at what precious stones mean. It really has some real significance. Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Yet, for some reason, Satan continues to try to convince believers, God's children, that you can have both and have a right relationship with God. And you can't. It will not work. We're to put on the new man, Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. That's putting off the old man. And futility in their mind. This is not a productive, good thing. Okay? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Do we want that? Do we want to be spiritually dull Do we want to not have a closeness with God? Because when we put on the old man and we embrace the way of the world and not the way of Christ, we are sacrificing having a greater understanding of the things that come from the throne of God, not the way of the world. And understanding comes from the throne of God. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight that is outside of this world from the throne of God that you and I can have. But they would rather put on the old man and stay in the place they were before they knew Christ, having their understanding dark and being alienated from God. I don't want to be alienated from God because I've chosen to mix my life up as a Christian, saying, I know I'm going to heaven, that's all that matters to me. But as far as being sanctified or set apart for God's kingdom world, to deliberately, poignantly, absolutely, of our own decision, say, I am cutting myself off from this way so I can walk in this new way in Christ. That's what God wants us to do. And the benefit will be godly understanding. Our eyes will be open spiritually. The benefit will be we will be close to God and not alienated from Him because of sin. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you, the Christian, the believer, the child of God, you and I, but you have not so learned Christ. That's not the way Christ has taught us. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The more we yield to the old man, the more corruption comes into our life, not only in the world in which we live in the reality of what we live in, but in our own spiritual walk becomes corrupted. So we have to choose. I would rather live in this world as a child of God and take the heat for standing for Jesus than not. Than not. I don't know who the guy, what the first name is, but the Robinson family, Duck Dynasty. Phil. The father stood up at a conservative convention thing this last week, and he made some really bold statements. And he said, you know, we are to love God first and we're to love each other, whether they love us back or not. And he said, we're to be a country that calls upon God and relies upon God. And our forefathers were that type of men. And we're not that today. And if we're going to see America saved, that's what we need to remember. Just a little glimpse that I saw. I thought, man, that was God's grace and courage and guts to stand up and make it plain. And see, that's what Jesus is telling us. We have to put off by decision the old man. That we are going to put God first. That we're going to love Him first. We're going to love others no matter where they're at in their life. And we're going to be His people. Okay? That you put off concerning the former conduct, your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed. A new thinking. And where does that renewed new thinking come from? Our relationship with Jesus. God begins to reveal to us spiritual insight, spiritual truth that renews the way we think to be the way that God thinks. So we can be a reflection of Him in the world we live in. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God. When you and I receive Christ as our Savior, we got that new man. We were created as that new man at the moment we received Jesus as our Savior. Now, the way we discover the new man that God made us, that means that peculiar, one-of-a-kind, distinct individuals created for God's glory, a new creature. The way we discover who we are, who God made us at the instance of receiving Christ as our Savior, is by continually putting off the old man and unveiling the new man that God has made us in Him to be. And we're all different. We're all a bunch of odd-shaped marbles. Okay? But we're all differently made for His glory. One of a kind, which that's what it means, a unique, peculiar person in Christ. That's the new man that Christ made us when we received Him, and we only discover Him that when we die to our old self and live for Him. That you put on the new man, which is created according to God, and true righteousness and holiness. And true righteousness and holiness. Pursuing God with a pure heart. Holiness, what's that mean? It means sanctification. What's that mean? Churchy words. It means deciding to separate ourselves by choice from our worldly ways to the way of God. God has already called us out, set us for a purpose, and now we need to follow that. In your handout, you can fill in the blanks at the bottom. Separate ourselves and discover our new way of life in Christ. If we choose to separate from the way of the world, not mix the world in with our Christian faith, but separate from the ways of the world for the sake of knowing Christ and a better life in Him, that not only affects us here and now, but affects us in all of eternity, and above that, that will bring God glory here and now and for all eternity. If we choose to separate ourselves, then we discover the fullness of life that affects us here now and for eternity. Separate ourselves and discover our new way of life in Christ. And finally, embrace who we are in Christ. Embrace who we are in Christ. Don't be afraid of who God has made you to be, because you don't know who God made you to be. And it's kind of scary. It's kind of like, okay, I'm going to follow You, and You're going to shape me, and You're going to retrain my thinking, and You're going to help me to know You and what Your priorities are, and it's going to change me from who I am in my natural way to a new way that I am in You, and then You're going to direct me into a new path, and You're going to direct me and use me and shape me and mold me and make me for a distinctive purpose for Your glory in this life, and I have no clue what that is. That means I have to relinquish my control and yield myself to You as a living sacrifice daily. And as we daily decide to die to ourselves and live for Christ, He reveals who He is. And that relationship with Jesus becomes even more intimate. When we were singing that song on "I Want to See Your Face, I Want to Touch You," that's what we're talking about. It's that intimacy with God to where it's so real, because it is real, that we become so familiar with God that it's as if we know Him by face. That's that sense of identity. That sense of awareness of presence. Ephesians 2:19 and 20 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Whether a Gentile, which I am and most of you are, I think all of you are, and I don't think any of you are of a Jewish heritage, at least in this crowd, not the listening crowd, but in this crowd. And whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, doesn't matter. God has brought Jews and Gentiles together in unity through faith in Jesus Christ. Messianic Jews, completed Jews, which is most of our New Testament first century church members as it was. Okay, and so many others, we're all brought together in Christ. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, to fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. We're getting into that stone imagery, that precious stone thing. In whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Just stop right there for a minute, verse 21. We are spiritual, lively stones. What in the world does that mean? One, the temple of God was where the sacrifices were made. The physical temple of God, where they took the animals and laid the sacrifices down. The synagogues were places where they praised God and read the scriptures and they discussed God's word. So the synagogues are like our church, And the temple is where they offered the sacrifices. But Jesus says he's going to make us, and has made us, spiritual lively stones. That means that each stone, beginning with the cornerstone, if you were to build a stone building of the temple, is cut precisely, placed strategically, carefully, into its own place for its own purpose until it's finished and the capstone's put on. Spiritually, you and I now are the temples of God. We're living temples of God. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. We're living temples of God. What's that mean? That means that you and I are called to give spiritual sacrifices to God. What are the spiritual sacrifices? Dying to myself, offering up praise, serving Him with a sacrificial, genuine heart before the Lord, giving of what God would have us to give, and service to Him. That's being the temple of God that gives living sacrifices to Him. And that's what he's talking about in verse 21, in whom the whole building, he's bringing people to come to know him. He's given them a new, made them a new person in Christ. They have to discover who they are in Christ by dying to the old self, living in the new. And then he, as we discover ourselves, he begins to show us how he places us into the body of believers, and that spiritual body of believers in the New Testament local church body, and how he wants to use us in our own unique way for him and his glory. And the stone was not Moses when he hit the rock and the water flew from the stone and gave water to the Israelites. Is not Jesus called the rock of our salvation? Is not the rock the solid foundation that we stand on in Christ Jesus? Are we not, as Jesus is the Son of God, the Father in heaven, are we not the children of God? Are we not priests of God? Are we not called to be lively, living stones of God, because we've learned to stand firmly on the truth of Him, His Word, His leadership, His Lordship, dying to ourselves, pursuing Him as God's children with that focus. We're God's children in this world of darkness, and we've been called out and separated for Him. Wow. Wow. I love that. And so it says, in whom the whole building, being, that's ongoing, is being fitted together. More people are getting saved. More people are getting that new identity in Christ. More people are being shaped and molded and placed into the body spiritually to be those living spiritual temples of God, where each of us every day are living for Christ with a heart that says, Lord, I put you first. Lord, I give up what you call me to give up. Lord, I will find the fullness of the richness of Christ in you as I follow you. I am your child. I am a representative of you. So having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. We look at this building, it's tangible. But when we look at each other here, all of us, to my knowledge, in this room, are believers in Christ. Maybe not. But as we come together in Christ, we're spiritual temples. God lives inside of us. We live for Him. We discover who we are in Him, which is an ongoing process till He calls us home. And He places us strategically together as a place where He is honored and worshipped. Praise God. 1 Peter 2:4-5 says, coming to him as to a living stone. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. When you and I choose to come to Christ, who is the living stone, we become a living stone in him, standing on Christ, living in him, rejected indeed by men. Many people, Jews and Gentiles alike, friends that you have, friends that I have, people that we know that hear the gospel and say, I don't want it. Many have rejected, but chosen by God and precious. You and I, as believers in God, have been chosen by God. And what does it say? We are precious. You and I are precious stones of God. What's a typical crown? You think of a King Arthur, gold crown with precious stones in the crown, right? God, our Father in heaven, the King of kings and Lord of lords, looks at us as the jewels in his crown. Precious, beautiful, adored, loved, with a special care for. That's how God looks at us. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual sacrifice. We're living temples of God called to serve him, called to sacrifice ourselves as a living sacrifice, Romans 12. That we are called to die to ourselves, that we are called to serve and to give and to do as God leads us to, as a servant of Christ. But also as his children, as priests. God says we're a royal priesthood. God says that we're made kings. Wow. God says we're precious stones. And he's put us all together for his glory. Look at your insert. Spiritual sacrifices are our bodies yielded to him. Romans 12, 1. Our money to promote the gospel. Philippians 4, 18. Reality is we live in a world that requires money. And that's what God's called us to trust him in finances too. And our praise to glorify God. That's what God has called us in Hebrews 13, 15. To praise him. So, acknowledge our new way of life in Christ by putting off the old man, right? As being a spiritual, living, precious stone for God. I'm putting off this old life like that piece of coal that's black and dirty and ugly. Putting that off, that I will be that spiritual, living, precious stone to God. And you know what? God already sees us as that. You know, I have a bag of dirt in my hobby closet at home. My parents used to go mining. That was the thing. They would go around the country and they would go different areas and they would get dirt. Like, instead of throwing it into the slough, they would throw it into a Ziploc. You know, when they were done sloughing for the day. And they brought home these bags of dirt and that rock and all that stuff. But I know that inside that bag there are garnets and there's rubies and there's emeralds and there's all sorts of different, and even cheap diamonds. There's little things like that all through it. But I have to dig them out. I haven't done it. I've had it for 30 years. I have to dig it out. I have to clean them up. I have to look. And then if I really want to make them look nice, take them and have them cut and fit and all that stuff. God knows what diamond or what special precious stone that he's already made you and I to be. We already are that precious stone. As we put off the old man, put on the new man, it's like retrieving the stone, knocking off the dirt, washing it off, cutting it and polishing it, and glistening for God. That was the poem that I wrote for Sarah. You were once a coal, but now, as your witness to me, you have been you're a shining, glittering diamond because your faith in Christ shines. And I can say that about Sarah Clary. I can say that about so many of you. And so, that's who we are. Hold on to that. And remember that every day. You are a precious stone in Christ. You are made in him. You are called to follow him every day. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you've never asked him into your heart, and you're saying, I can feel the tug. I can feel God talking to me right now and say, I want to come in. It's only because God loves you and he wants to come in. He has a wonderful life for you as you follow along. So if you want to receive him as your Savior, just come forward and say, Pastor, I'd like to pray and ask Christ in my heart. Or maybe you want to rededicate your life, or maybe you want to get baptized, or maybe you want to join the church, or maybe you have a prayer concern. Whatever the need, I'm here to pray with you. Let's all stand and close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the precious truth that we see in your word. I thank you, Father, for the insight, just a little glimmer of a glance of the insight of your adoration toward us because of our faith in your Son. Because we are in him and he is in us and we are in you. And we praise you for that. Father, I pray that you help us to be the witness that you'd have us to be each day as we commit our lives to you, as we put you in the forefront of our hearts and minds every day, that we, our desire would be that we would be walking with you, that we would be focused on you, that we would be victorious in you over sin, that we would be the witness you would have us to be. I pray that you'd help us also to be bold and to be courageous and to share the gospel of Jesus with those around us and not to be afraid of that. Share our own personal witness, our own personal testimony of what it means to know Christ, how we came to know him. Look for opportunities to springboard our conversations to share you and give us courage and boldness once again. Bless, Father. Bless the invitation. Bless each of us and help us, Father, to walk in the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.